Man, it's been a crazy week. My heart goes out to Zen, feel better, and Stryker, we're there for you. We hope your dad is okay. Hi, I'm Marcus.
And I'm Nick.
And we are Working Class Nerds.
We're the podcast that gives you no information about your favorite information.
Today is Thursday, February 7th, 2019. You can find this Oh My God, We're Being Taken Over by AIE podcast on Google Podcast, Buzzsprout, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. You can find me on Twitter. I am at MarcusB814.
And I am at Nick Vern. That's NickVern. And this week's episode, we have four guests.
That is insane.
That's right. Four whole guests. They're all officers and a couple council members for the AIE Guild. We have returning guests, Max and Seema. Max is the guild master for SOTOR. Seema is on the council for the whole guild. Also joining us is Tetsemi, who's an officer in AIE and a co-host for the AIE podcast. And last but certainly not least, our fourth guest is Dan Kinnia, who's the guildmaster for Elder Scrolls Online. So welcome to the show, everybody. And before we dive into all the AIE stuff, let's just go around the horn and share what you've been up to this week, starting with Tetsemi.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I have been mostly focused on World of Warcraft, just doing the new content. Our raid team is now 4 of 9 normal on the new raid content and loving the mechanics and stuff. I have been doing my OSIS dailies in SOTOR and trying to figure out when they're going to release some more story. Can I have it, please? Poking at Fallout 76 a little bit with Kinny and her friends. Just kind of exploring. I think I'm level 25, I think, in there. And also playing offline a little bit of Dragon Age Inquisition because I love a good story. And then every 2 weeks we do the AIE podcast. In fact, this week we're doing it Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern because we have family stuff on the normal podcast days. So that's what I've been up to.
The funny part about that is last night I got into I don't want to say an argument because it wasn't an argument because he one of our guildies says the AIE podcast is Saturday. I was like, no, it's not on Saturday. It's Sunday. And we started arguing with each other and he finally he found the piece of the audio from the AIE podcast and he posted it. And I just put my head down. I'm like, I should just shut up.
No, normally we are on Sundays. We just had to shift a little bit this week. We're going to have Final Fantasy 14 on this week. So
it's exciting stuff.
Yeah, I think Abbo is coming on, and we're trying to find out one more guest. So
Seema, tell us what you've been up to.
Well, I mean, like Tetsemi, I've been doing my OSIS dailies, especially the ones where you join large hordes of pug peoples and kill world bosses, which is pretty exciting experience. And I'm doing it on my two... Like they're mirror characters, my mercenary and my commando. They're both healers with guns, right? So that's been a lot of fun. I have been spending some time in WoW, too, mostly in support of my pet habit. So there's a lot of activities in WoW that ultimately lead to a pet, whether you're working on building a supply of currency to buy a pet or working on an achievement that will award you a pet. So... when I get a few extra minutes, sometimes I'll hop into WoW and do some pet stuff. And yeah, that is basically my gaming world.
So speaking of the pets in World of Warcraft, so I bought the Battle of Azeroth and I never played it before in my life. So I started at level 1 and I got a pet and it gave me this gorilla and and I'm like, man, it looks like the gorilla from Overwatch. And so I'm playing, and this thing's following me around. I'm like, man, this is the gorilla from Overwatch.
Winston?
So, yeah, Winston. Yeah. So finally, I was like, I have to Google it. And I Googled it, and it was Winston from Overwatch. I'm like, wow, now I can see why Seema has an addiction to pets.
Yeah.
Overwatch
yes.
gorillas.
I have that pet. It's actually called Baby Winston because he's like a little puppy gorilla.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I can totally get into that.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the show.
Dan Kinnia. What have you been up to this week?
A lot of the usual working things, but beyond that, I do the ESO Mandatory Fun Night events every Friday night. I'm in New Braid for WoW every Saturday night, and a ton of Fallout 76. I'm actually level 86 now, I think.
Whoa.
Nice.
What's max level?
There is no max level. There's no cap.
Oh.
You stop earning some of the points at level 50, but there is actually no cap beyond that. There's a few AIE guildies that join me in my endeavors in Fallout 76. So we run around, have a lot of fun, kill a lot of things.
That's cool.
Yep, so that's awesome. Pretty much it.
I have one question for anybody that doesn't know, and I kind of know what it is, and I have an idea, but can you explain what Noob Raid is?
Of course. Noob Raid is a casual friendly raid in WoW. It doesn't have an eye level or a strict attendance requirement. We allow anyone to join us. We have a couple high level people, actually several with high item levels that raid current tier that help carry some of the newer people so that we can coach them, you know, how to raid, what to do, how the fights look. Some people use it to learn a new class or to learn a new role. Some people just are intimidated by regular raiding or don't have time for regular raiding. So it gives them a casual place to do that. So it's just a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks. So speaking of max level, Max, what have you been up to?
Yes, all my characters are max level, just so you know. Thanks for having me on again, guys. Good to talk to you again on the podcast. Not like I don't talk to you all the time outside the podcast, but... So I've been doing a whole bunch of stuff, doing a little work travel. I was down in St. Louis, which is a fun little town. Got some good tacos down there on this week for work. But as a result, I missed our mandatory fun night in Star Wars on Tuesday, which I was a little bit sad about. But I've been doing a bunch of Star Wars stuff and some stuff in some of our other games. In Star Wars, I'm doing what Seema said, which is going after those world bosses and doing the Osis stuff that is... what did you say? Did you say fun or interesting? For some, I don't know exactly.
I think they're fun, but then I'm perverse.
Yeah, this is a
ball of chaos is the best term.
Yes, they're hilarious. There's one boss who the main strat just seems to be run back.
Exactly.
Yes.
Or lie there, don't release, and get yelled at.
Yes, just right, you know, yeah. die and run back until the boss gets to 15%, and then die and lay down on the ground.
Right.
So that's the strategy there. And then like the other boss, you know my strategy for the other boss, which is...
Get all the way up in his butt.
Way up there, Morty. Way up in his butt. That is right. Yeah. So I've been doing that. I did... So just for everybody who's doing the Osis stuff in Star Wars... The timed weekly, which is like a little extra bonus thing that changes week to week, it's PvP this week. So, Seema, you might want to get in there and do a little PvP and tats.
I've already done it.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. And then I did a bunch of other stuff in Star Wars. I'm doing a little bit. I'm always playing other games though too. So it's been a couple weeks, but I've got a high level character. I've got a max level character in ESO. that I like to, well, no, I guess I'm not 720. I'm not over 700. So it's not, it's max level, but not max level.
Right.
But I like doing the, I like doing the MFN stuff, on Fridays with ESO. I've been in New Raid from time to time. That is awesome. In World of Warcraft. I've gone and, flown with this, with the, Star Trek team from time to time. My Eve account is still active, but I think it should probably not be. And then Nomads is another thing of ours where people play like new games that are coming out or games that are sort of off the side that we don't have a guild presence in. I am playing something for Nomads, but I can't tell you what it is because I'm bound by the legal agreement to not say what alpha I am participating in.
Ooh.
On a completely unrelated note, Amazon has a game coming out. You might want to sign up for their alpha.
Well done.
Yeah. You know, I did sign up for that alpha.
Yes. Yes, you also did sign up for it, but you cannot say whether or not you are in it. Is that, I believe.
You cannot confirm nor deny.
Yeah, I signed up for the alpha.
Yeah.
And we'll leave it at that.
But I'll just say all I got to say about Osus is the world bosses, I find that it's like anybody finds out that I'm a marauder and they don't invite me in. There'll be 20 people standing there and they're asking for more DPS and I'm putting my hand up, me, pick me. And all of a sudden they pull the boss and I'm just standing there watching them do it. And I just do like the walk of shame to the other boss and then do it again. And then eventually I get in, but it usually takes like 2 or 3 kills of the boss for me to get the invitation.
You're like Hermione Granger in Harry Potter waving her hand to answer the question and nobody picks you.
Yeah, don't go to the boss. You need to just be on the planet or like somewhere far away where people can't tell you're a marauder.
Yeah.
Make them summon you.
Yeah.
Works every time.
Yeah, then just say, "Oh, I'm just some random DPS, not a marauder." Yeah. Don't worry about it.
No worries. Yeah. So Nick, what have you been up to these past couple weeks? And for the record, I haven't even talked to you in 2 weeks.
Right. I've been exceptionally busy, which me being exceptionally busy, particularly with school stuff, leads to only a sprinkling of gaming, in which I played FIFA with Mariana, who's my girlfriend, best girlfriend ever, some Overcooked 2, which is that cooking game for the Switch, which is just a dumb little, like, you know, top-down strategy game, and also just some good old-fashioned Mario Kart. Regular life things. I had some excitement. I got a new automatic car starter for my car, which is a Christmas present.
And
which is
right at the right time. Right at the right time, because last week it was like -10 here and in Chicago. They said it was colder than Hoth.
Yeah.
My Tauntaun did freeze before it reached the first marker. I'll have you know.
Wow. The sweetest part about that car starter is it essentially has unlimited range because I don't know through what technology, but it connects to an app on my phone, so I can click it like with my phone wherever. I think there's like a cell phone receiver that they stuck in my car now or something, but I can probably be tracked by the NSA everywhere I drive.
Yeah, that goes without saying. Yeah.
Right. They were probably doing that before anyway, but anyways, I'm a giant Patriots fan, so we're Super Bowl champions! 6 rings, baby! So, you know, I do like to drink, which everyone knows that listens to the podcast, but I don't typically drink very heavily, but I happened to Sunday night of the Super Bowl, and I don't recall going to bed. My good old hippocampus shut off on me. So, while that was happening, I ordered a hotel in Boston Monday night into Tuesday, and the parade was Tuesday morning. So in my drunken stupor, I ordered my sober self a hotel room so that I could stay over in Boston and avoid all that morning traffic and get a good spot for the parade.
Wow.
So
surprise, sober self.
Exactly. So Monday morning, I woke up and was like, oh, what is this email? It's a hotel confirmation reservation. It's like, well, when did I buy that? Well, I guess I'm going to the parade. So, I at least had the foresight to get a double room, so a room with 2 beds, I should say. So my dad came up with me to Boston, and my sister goes to school up there. So we all met up there to go to the parade, which was really nice. We got breakfast together. I purchased some nips or airplane bottles, depending on which part of the country you're from, because I guess the players really like when you throw alcohol to them. Which the Red Sox players, they're having issues with security, like stopping that. But the Patriots didn't care at all. They were like welcoming all the beers, all the nips, everything. It was awesome. So we were a little underdressed with the weather, but we got super close to the railing. I got a bunch of cool video that I'll post later. And one of the players actually caught the nip that I threw at him. Drank it. He was all excited. He like did a big fist pump and was like looking around and couldn't tell because there's millions of people there who threw it. But so I DM'd him on Instagram afterwards while we were getting lunch, and he actually responded, which is really cool. It was just a cool experience to be so engrossed in. Like,
wait, so you're drunk, underdressed, and throwing nips at players?
Yeah,
it sounds like a great time.
It was awesome.
Sounds like Boston.
Yeah, exactly. With millions of other people doing similar things.
Shit show.
It was a shit show.
I was supposed to not swear this episode.
Well, that goes out the window. So then we got some lunch in the North End. Little Italian, hit up Modern Pastry.
Terrible.
Before going home. I know you're a Mike's Pastry guy. It's a big feud between us. But it was really a fantastic day. So that was like the highlight of my week. I had class yesterday, but that doesn't really compare to the chaos that was that Patriots parade. Whew. So that's about it for me. So, not a whole lot of gaming stuff. But Marcus, what have you been up to?
A lot. First thing, I did it again. So
you bought a game and played it twice?
No, actually, I got a game for my birthday and I've been playing the snot out of it. But I'll get into that. But the biggest thing is, we were under duress on our Wednesday night team. The ops leader, super busy with his new job, and she like is driving truck everywhere, and just couldn't commit anymore. And I didn't want to see the team go down, so I have a new ops team that I'm leading.
Surprise!
So, yeah, surprise! So I'm going to train somebody to take it over, but I didn't want to see one of the longest-running teams in our guild for SOTOR go away.
Right.
So I just stepped up to the plate, and I'm going to try something new with this team and have everybody, you know, get to level 70 in whatever gear you are, and we're going to start at the beginning and, you know, make the basic 236 gear in story mode ops, like, needed. Right. I don't want anybody that has gear just, and I may try healing.
Wow.
It's going to be a fail and everybody's going to die, but as Max says, it's a risk willing to take.
Marauders don't have healing spells, just so you know.
You might turn out to have a special talent for it. You never know.
Yeah.
You could actually be good at this as opposed to the whole DPS thing.
I don't think so. Because that means I'm going to have to hit more than two keys, one and two, one and two, 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 one, one, one. You know what I mean?
No, I think what Nick said was this might actually be a thing you might actually be good at.
Thank you for the clarification, so, Max. That's exactly what I was trying to say.
But what I have been doing a ton is hard mode ops. The Death Star Troopers team took down Draxus, which is the second boss of Dread Fortress in hard mode, and we were working on him for 3 weeks or 4 weeks, which is a super big accomplishment because it's a DPS race and the mechanics, and it's a wave after wave after wave of ads, and we figured it out. We got it. And then the next day, I said, hey, I have a lockout who wants to go to Dread Fortress. And then we had some ringers come in that joined the group, and we beat Corruptor Zero and the Grobfock monster guy. And so it was really fun, but, you know, putting a team together of Misfit Toys and the ringers, it's not the same as your actual team, but it's still nice to see that achievement pop up that says, hey, I beat these bosses in hard mode. It makes you feel good, and then we'll start over. Anthem, I did get to play. So everybody knows I'm not a big Destiny guy, but Anthem looks fun and I want to play it. And I bought their whatever special edition, and I bought it because of BioWare.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, if BioWare does well on this game, SOTOR does well long term. If BioWare doesn't do good on this game, EA shuts down BioWare. So I said, I'll spend the $70 on the special edition and pray. But I did get to play the demo. People had problems with it. I didn't. The graphics are beautiful. The javelin things are cool. I think it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see the AIE presence in the game. Hopefully it kind of takes off and it gets its own channel. Yeah. So the stuff doesn't get lost in the Nomads channel. And we'll see how that goes. But the final thing is... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I was playing the demo too. And it's interesting because 2 weekends ago, they were still using the previous closed alpha version, which had the problems because, as everyone knows, I cannot aim worth crap on a console. I have to do mouse and keyboard. So I'm like, this will be great. And I get in the game and they don't have the sensitivity for the mouse ratio correct. And so I'm driving the javelin like I'm a drunken
you know, whatever.
Me too.
Walls. Okay. So finally, last weekend, they put out a new build, and they finally had the sensitivity much better to where I could, you know, hit the jump space, get up twice, hover in place to fire, and actually navigate fairly well. It's going to take a little bit of getting used to, but I think they're getting better about the mouse keyboard controls as opposed to the console, because I plugged in an Xbox console controller on my PC as well and tried to play it that way, and I'm like, I can't hit the side of a planet. So
the mouse is for aiming anything, the mouse is great.
Yeah,
you know, when I play a game like Grand Theft Auto, I always drive with the controller and, you know, do the actual gun and the missions with a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah. The big thing I'm excited about Anthem, though, is the storyline, because I got to play the closed alpha where they did the, you know, where you start out and you get the intro story and all that. And the story looks really good. I, you know, I'm a story guy, mechanic second, so we'll see. It looks good, though.
I just hope it doesn't turn out like Destiny did, where I was in the story and, you know, there was this one part where, you know, it was like a giant room and it comes down to this little hallway. And as soon as you're in the hallway, there's like 30,000 ads that come attack you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I ran out of ammo and exactly. I kind of got to a wall and I'm like, well, how do I fix this? So then I would back up and like do something else to try to get ammo, but it didn't help me at all.
Yeah.
And I got really frustrated with it.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen. Games like that should just give you unlimited ammo.
One shot, one kill. I'm my friend.
This is GFSF, Max.
and then Tats, I'm surprised you had trouble with the aiming. I mean, didn't you used to bullseye womp rats in your T-16 back on
No, that was I used to bullseye the walls in the T-16.
Oh. See, that's an important distinction.
You forget, Max, I play a trooper who can't hit the broadside of a barn and a sorcerer who just uses lightning to solve all his problems. So either way, it's a blunt force object that's going to get me through. There is no precision here.
Yeah. Games without tab targeting, where the hitting or missing is based on the accuracy random number generator, not on my skill. I prefer that.
Those are the quests in WoW that always take me the longest, the ones where you have to actually point at what you, like if you're in a vehicle or something and you're spreading fire, I'm like, how do all those orcs survive?
Exactly. I'm in this big flaming iron star and it just has go run over 100 of these things, and how am I not hitting these?
I'm 1% complete.
Yeah, great.
The final thing that I've been playing, and I've been playing a lot, and the challenge, you know, Nick, I finally talked to him yesterday after 2 weeks of radio silence, and so I noticed that Kingdom Hearts 3 was coming out, and Disney and all that, and my daughter's obsessed with the Disney princesses. Well, I noticed that they released a Rapunzel Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer, so I showed it to her, and she's just like, I'm getting you that for your birthday. And that's all that said. And I just kept playing the trailer over and over. Yeah. So on my birthday, I got it. And got now I have to. Yeah. I didn't realize that the game is really long.
Oh, yeah.
In the cutscenes, it's like Final Fantasy 14 cutscenes.
Yep.
And, you know, one night, I think I was in cutscenes for like 35 minutes. And I'm like, oh, man.
Yeah,
I just want to like save this so I can go to bed. It's like 11:30, but now I have to get to the Rapunzel area. Whether I finish the game or not, I have to get to the Rapunzel area because she asks me every day, 40 times a day. So that's like, where
are you at Rapunzel yet? Are you at Rapunzel yet?
Yeah, exactly. And I just keep saying,
not yet.
Yeah.
So a few things happened in SOTOR. We kind of got three pieces of information this week. Nick, can you read the first one? Because I think it's really funny. There must have been a lot of people complaining in the forums for them to write this, but it's too funny to read.
Sure. This is from Eric. He just gives a little note to the community. He says, hey, folks, right now I don't believe there are any plans for a formal roadmap in the coming weeks. To calm any concerns, that isn't because there isn't stuff happening this year, but we have been making an effort to give you more visibility into content sooner via PTS. With that in mind, here are some details. 5.10.1 is on PTS now, which you already knew. that will come out in the next couple of weeks. More details on timing this week. After 5.10.1 is out the door, look for details on 5.10.2 going to PTS. We are still locking down details, so I can't announce anything just yet. But we fully intend to be at Star Wars Celebration this year, which seems like a great place to reveal more details on what is coming this year. Thanks all, Eric.
So, if I read that right, so February 12th, 5.10.1 is coming out.
Yep,
right. That's been, comes out. But the, what I, that says is, look at, we're gonna, nothing is gonna be said now until
Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah.
Great. So yeah, and then we'll get the announcement of 5.11.
Right.
I'm sorry. Was that sarcastic? I didn't mean it to be.
They, you know, that would be funny to do if they said, "Hey, here's 5.11," and it's like something would, terrible.
Oh, bug fixes. Yeah.
Bug fixes. Yeah.
Or no, more bugs. Literally, you know, we got a mutated Genosian queen coming out, so more bugs. No, they better announce 6.0. They have to.
Yeah, I think that's what's coming. So then yesterday they released an update, a post on Twitter, which I didn't see until Tetsemi shared it. And 5.10.1 has a name. It's called the Wretched Hive. It is coming out February 12th, as we said, but it's basically an instanced lair boss like Taboro's Courtyard, the Eyeless, and the, is it the Colossal Monolith or?
Worldbreaker Colossal. I don't know. One of those two.
Yeah. One of those two. I'm looking forward to it, but I really want a full operation. And I know everybody's going to say you can't get everything, but how come they can't just take, in my opinion, it's easy. And I don't, and I don't program, right? But why can't you take the Karaga mechanics, throw it on some new boss and make that the first boss, and then take, you know, Corruptor Zero and take the mechanics of it and throw it into another boss.
Reskin it.
Well, yeah, Marcus, just reskin it.
Why can't you just grab some cabinets and put them in my kitchen and redo my kitchen this weekend?
I can. We just need to order the cabinets first. So all they got to do is build it.
Oh, you got to build it.
Well, if I build it or we'll order it. Takes four. If you order cabinets, it takes 4 weeks. If I build it, it's going to take 6.
But yeah, so but this is,
it would be so easy to just do it for this weekend.
Yeah.
I think this is what we're getting to is Matt Pusevich. He's the lead designer for the operations. We know the stuff he's doing right now. He's working on, he's finishing up Hive of the Mountain Queen. So if the Wretched Hive is coming out now, that means he hasn't yet been working on the next operation. So there's stuff that's got to happen. There's stuff that's in the backlog. I'm sure it just takes a long time to
can't put get 10 all pounds of mud in a 5 pound sack.
Yeah. I guess I just want too much. So the last thing that came up today, and the title of it was called A Look Behind the Scenes with OSIS. So basically, there's been a lot of feedback coming on the forums, and you know, they're like, oh, we've saved this interview that we've had with Charles Boyd for a while. So they interviewed him and basically gave a breakdown of the story of OSIS, which it's a really good read. We're not going to read it because you guys can go to SOTOR.com and read it. But the final thing that they say in it, it's definitely what we have said. And what does it say, Nick?
It says mostly the question is, last question, Charles, what are you most excited for with SOTOR in 2019? And he answers, mostly stuff I can't talk about yet, with a winking emoji. Ask me again about our community cantina at Celebration in Chicago in April. Thank you for your time, Charles. If you haven't been to OSIS yet, be sure to check it out with Game Update 5.10. So basically he's saying, I'm excited for 6.0, and I just can't say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whenever
ask him in Chicago, can do.
Yeah,
can do.
I just hope it won't be really, really cold for it.
It's Chicago.
Yeah.
It's Chicago.
In April, yeah, so in April, it's still 30 degrees.
Yeah,
and it's windy. And windy. And it's always windy. Come on.
It could be 80 degrees. It might be 30. It might be 80. It might be both. So, in one day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look forward to that. Pack your shorts and your parka.
And, so, Mark, can I mention one thing I did like about this article? And that is that they went into the characters that were introduced, because I really like that they brought Darth Malgus back. I know there are a lot of people that love that they brought Darth Malgus back, mm-hmm. but the new Jedi Master they brought in was very interesting. Bringing Melora back was like, oh Lord, we're gonna have issues, because I remember I turned her into her superior, you know, like everyone else, like, she's crazy. He needs, yeah, you deal with that. And then she comes back. But honestly, my two favorites were Tawadare and Major Henri, and the little write-ups that they gave about him. I love this quote. It says, I feel like we've historically overdone it a bit on the Republic authority figures who are morally questionable. You think? Probably because they're so fun to write. So Dayrun is meant to be the other direction, embodying all that's good and noble about the Republic and its goals. Can I just say thank you? Because honestly, you know, one of the reasons I had more fun on the Imperial side was like, okay, these guys are, at least they're straightforward about their goals and what they're trying to accomplish. And yeah, it's bad, but at least they're telling you straight up front, this is what we're doing. Whereas the Republic, you're like, yeah, we're doing this for good. What are you doing over there murdering children? You know, it's like, yeah, exactly. And the fact that, you know, Henri's a decorated military veteran and a former slave and an alien, you know, showing how far the Imperial side's come. I like those characters.
Henri is a fantastic character.
Yeah.
Something else
that with that Malgus. I mean, Malgus's whole thing was he wanted to expand the scope of the Empire. He wanted to bring in aliens. And so when Henri showed up, before we knew that Malgus was part of the story, it was like, oh, I could see where this could go and why that sort of fits and why that's that's a good hint.
But what I want to know about this article is, who is interviewing Charles? Good like, question. Actually, like, did Charles write this and he was, like, interviewing himself? Like, who writes an emoji if they're, like, talking? You know, you only do that if you're writing yourself.
Yeah. That's a great point. As I read that, I'm like, wait a minute. Why is there an emoji in here if it's just quoting an article or an interview?
We need to see the unedited first draft. My Charles, you are a handsome man. Why, thank you. I really appreciate that. You too are handsome.
Oh my god. And I will say, for the Osa story, something that was really enjoyable was that you didn't get all these new characters as companions. Whether later on we get them, that's fine, but I like that they're building your relationship with them before they just say, hey,
just hop on.
Yeah, just hop on my ship and, you know, you can be my companion.
Yeah.
You just went to war with these people and you start to have, you know, you're attached to them. And then, you know, by the time they're actually companions, you really want them as your companion rather than, oh, hi, you're Dark Thexit. Okay, you're my companion now. I don't know anything about you.
I just want to see Dark Jaysa and Melora together.
Sounds good to me.
There's no. Light side Jaysa is the only thing. One other thing I want to mention is on February 22nd, which is a Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, is our monthly Epic Guild Activity Night in SOTOR, which is mega. I run it and with some help from some friends. This month, we're going to be doing, I'm calling it Datacron 2, which is, we're going to do the Fleet Datacron, which, you know, it's kind of hard to do. It takes a little bit of prep. And not everybody has it, i.e. I don't have it. And then I think we're going to go over to Osis and get the new Datacrons there, because I know a bunch of people don't have them yet. And I will be able to hopefully assist people in finding that. And then maybe, depending on how much time we have left after that, maybe we can go do the new Geonosian Hive Queen boss.
Yeah.
That would be
nice. Cool.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
So, and with our group of people here today, if this sounds fun to you, I mean,
how could it not?
Exactly. Listen to everybody on our show tonight. I would love it, and everybody else would love it, if you could go to aie-guild.org. Get our Discord information and jump into any of the channels, whether it's World of Warcraft, ESO, the Nomads, the SOTORs, any of them, or just a general one, and say, hey, how are you? Because we would love to have you. And please, if you want, or in any game, you can ask for a guild invite. if you happen to be in SOTOR, you know, Corley is another officer. I hear he's really good at inviting.
Yeah, like, I keep pumping up Dent, but Corley just takes the cake. Corley's the best at sending guild invites.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
Nick, you want to take a break?
I would love to. We'll be right back. And we're back. So today we're discussing anything and everything about the AIE Guild. We'd like to go through exactly what it is, where it came from, what games the guild is involved in, and the most important question, what makes it such a great community? So, without further ado, what is AIE? And anybody can answer. Or everybody.
At one time.
But preferably not nobody.
All right. I'll take this one. This is the gimme one. AIE, so it's a gaming community that originally started with Scott Johnson and a group of friends based around the Instance podcast. They figured, we'll put a guild together in World of Warcraft. We'll play. There'll be about, 10 people maximum. And it ballooned up so fast and so quick, they didn't expect it. And we ended up with, I think we now have 11. Yeah, we have 11 co-guilds in World of Warcraft, each of which has a cap of about 1,000.
What?
So there's 11,000 people branching.
Well, there's room for 11,000 characters right now. And the reason we had to grow to 11 was during Wrath of the Lich King, Cataclysm, Mists of Pandaria, that era, we were if you're inactive longer than 3 months, you're out. And we were still filling up guilds with characters because, it's per character, not per account. And so, yeah, we grew to 11 co-guilds. We've got, I think if I pulled up the spreadsheet that I do every week, I think we've got about 5,600 characters right now, 6 months or newer in the guild. And, people come and go, characters come and go, but it's just a big family oriented community for people that want to do whatever is, in World of Warcraft, at least whatever the game offers. We have people that love to go out and collect pets and then give them away in guild chat, like Gusty Tail. We have, people that put together new braid like Dan Kinia to teach people, hey, here's how you raid and here's what, what raiding is and what you need to do. We have other, people do community events. Like we have one coming up, for, Ralph, one of our former members that passed on. We're doing, Ralph's incredible race in the game. There's lots of guild activities. There's lots of groups doing everything from operations to world quest to world PvP to war mode to, whatever you want. But it's mostly about the community. And it spawned from WoW into other games. We had Rift at one time. We have SOTOR now. We have ESO. We have... name a major publishing MMO game, Final Fantasy 14. We have activity in it. We have people that are interested in it. And it's not the game. It's the community. It's the people. And I think that's what, really drives AIE to stick around and for people to join it is... we actively encourage, hey, if you're lost, you have questions about a game, you have questions about things, ask in Discord, ask in guild chat. We'll help out. I've had people like, hey, can anyone help me with this? And like three people will go, yeah, give me just a second. Where are you? And fly over in game or teleport over in game or send something in mail to help out. And that's just the community.
Right. Awesome. What are your roles in AIE? Let's start with Dan Kinia.
I am the game director for ESO. We are a smaller portion of AIE than a lot of the other games. So I don't have a ton of responsibility there just because there's not a lot of people, but we do a mandatory fun night every Friday night, which I organize and get people going and run around and kill things in dungeons and lead people off cliffs because I get lost and fall
because cliffs.
Exactly. But basically, because of how small the community is in ESO, it's pretty tight-knit. We have a small group of regulars that join in for most of the events, and everybody's really friendly and helping each other out. You know, we'll say, hey, this night we're doing these things, or do you have suggestions for other things you want to run? You know, there's somebody there most nights.
I remember Max, I think, was streaming in ESO, and he was, I don't know if he was tanking or not, and the graphics were unbelievable. And you guys, I call it Flashpoint in SOTOR. I don't know what it is in ESO, but the setting was you guys were running through water, and there was this giant monster you were trying to kill, and I was just watching the damage come off of him every time he hit everybody. And I watched you guys wipe a couple times, and I was amazed by the graphics and how, you know, I think Max had a staff and he was like shooting lightning from it, almost like a sorcerer.
Yeah.
It's actually called a sorcerer.
All right.
Yeah, they have sorcerers. Hey,
see, I just showed the big brain on Marcus. But, but I was blown away by the graphics. The hardest part for me with ESO is the mouse control, so it almost plays like a first-person shooter where you move the mouse and the camera moves, where I'm not used to that in SOTOR, and it makes me really dizzy.
Yeah, the controls are different. There's not a lot of tab targeting. It's more, you know, aim your character at what you want to shoot at with your lightning staff. I also play a Sork.
Lightning solves everything.
Yeah, lightning and fire.
But it's not precision aiming. So, you know, it's more like you aim your telegraph, your conal area of effect in a direction, and it's not too bad.
Yeah. But it is very pretty.
It's great. Yeah, it's great. It's pretty. It's a good group of people. So yeah, Tet said WoW is the biggest. We've got some medium ones. We've got some smaller ones. But any of the ones that are in our Discord as a regular channel, there's a solid group that lives there. So, you know, Dankinia, in addition to living in World of Warcraft and running, you know, one of the top events per week across the guild, is running this group that lives in ESO, and I think that's really cool.
It is pretty cool.
And then my other responsibility in the guild is pretty much New Braid. And I actually didn't start New Braid. Somebody else did. I just took it over when he no longer could run it anymore. But yeah. I have a ton of fun doing it. While I technically play DPS in New Braid, I specialize in floor tanking.
Unless she has her dedicated healer, but even then, you know.
Yeah, you can still fall off elevator bosses. You might notice a theme, falling off things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well. She does that in D&D, but usually it's jumping off things when we role play in D&D.
I have issues.
She does.
I can't throw stones.
Hit. Yeah,
I've fallen off of plenty of things trying to play.
No, I mean there was one operations. Part where there was one part where she jumped off to attack something, and I shot the thing out from under her that she was going to do, and she plummeted. Sorry.
Oh, that's the best.
And our DM was like, "Okay, so you died."
That's teamwork right there.
Yeah, exactly. That's good teamwork. Well,
the problem was she didn't telegraph what she was going to do. So, like, I'm shooting the thing with a, you know, fireball or whatever it was, and it goes down, and then she's like in the middle of there going, "I have no place to stair step. I'm screwed."
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Seema, what are your roles in AIE?
Well, I am a what we call AIE community officer, which is, we haven't really touched on this, but the way we are structured as a overall guild is if you're an officer with AIE, it's sort of a version of the old, you know, bring the player, not the class. It's like, if you're an officer for AIE, you're an officer for AIE. It doesn't mean you have responsibilities in every game, but that's how that works. So we kind of getting away from like, she's a SWTOR officer and he's a WoW officer. If you're an AIE officer, you're an AIE officer. And then I also serve on the council along with Max and a few other very wonderful people. And my main role there, I feel like, is to help Max get things accomplished as much as possible.
No. You're, so you're the poker? Did you feel that?
No, she's the cat herder.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or the one who's actually getting things done. Yeah, that's just amazing.
But I also take very, this is kind of an odd thing to say, but I take very seriously the sort of charter we have, which is to keep things fun.
Yeah, you do.
That's important.
Yeah. I also kind of see that as part of my contribution, at least in SWTOR, is that I always want to make sure that even though we're in the game and we're trying to succeed in game goals, that we're also having fun while we're doing it. And we're not putting too much emphasis on being, you know, the best at this or the fastest at that, et cetera, et cetera.
More dots.
Yes.
For our general guild activities. Now we'll have groups that are like hard mode progression groups and ranked PvP and that's all cool. But if we're gonna say what is AIE and if we're gonna have like an open guild event, it's family friendly and it's fun and that's
part of it. If you want to do a ranked PvP group in AIE, then that's fun for you. Yeah. And I support that. So yeah.
Yeah, that too.
Make sure we have
the facilities to be able to support people to do what is fun for them. Yeah,
I mean, I support you, but from over here. Because I'm not. You may have gleaned that I'm not a PvP aficionado.
Well, I was thinking about it earlier, Seema, and I was thinking, there's about as much chance of you doing ranked PvP as that there is of me going back to another GSF match.
Guys,
I have done a lot of PvP in my life, though. So I know.
Yeah. But
intentionally or unintentionally?
No, intentionally. I used to do arena religiously.
Wow!
Yeah,
hardcore.
Yeah,
it's because she gets really mean and she.
Yeah, I would hate everybody after that. So yeah,
she would be yelling at us all the time. I think we're just. You know, we're just hoping she doesn't go back to it because
it's like anything, you can get too into things.
Yeah,
yeah,
and it happens.
Yeah.
So Max, what do you do in AIE?
So I sweep the floors.
He's a custodian? No, I wasn't thinking. He's not a dojo master.
Sensei?
Yeah, sensei for the Cobra Kai. He sweeps the floor.
Sweep the leg, Johnny. Yeah, that's me.
I was thinking more of, he's more like Groundskeeper Willie.
Sweep the leg.
Groundskeeper Willie.
He's made an enemy for life. What did you just say to me?
That's too funny.
Yeah, so I'm an officer in Star Wars. That's my day job in AIE. I play all the games though, so I have characters in pretty much every game that we play. So let me double check. Going down the list. ESO, yes, Eve, yes, Final Fantasy. Guild Wars 2 is lower level. Lotro, my dwarf, is only like mid level. Star Trek, my captain, that's probably the lowest, but my captain of Star Trek's got a few ships and I go in there for the events. I played a little bit of Overwatch and everything else. I definitely have plenty of characters. I have at least two druids that are always level cap in WoW. I don't know why it's always two druids and then other characters, but I start with two druids. And then
they can play everything.
It's because druids are awesome.
So I play a lot of the games. I'm an officer then and try to help out in all of them, especially when we have bigger things going on. As far as is what Seema said, if you're an officer in one game, you can we want your expertise in just helping run the guild in general. So the way we also decide what goes on, what kind of events happen, and what goes on across the guild, we include everybody. So the Star Wars officers may be focused on Star Wars and making most of the decisions there, but we'll open it up and we'll ask and we'll invite everyone to the meetings for the individual divisions and. I try to run some of the meetings across all of the games. So that's a little bit of what I do as part of the council job is try to make sure everybody stays connected, make sure we've
right.
thinking about what's coming next. And we're working on some of the harder things. You know, just behind the scenes, there's probably a lot that people don't realize is going on, and we want to be more transparent about that. But we're thinking about how, you know, what jobs do we have? We don't add officers. We don't add officers as a reward. It's not a ranked promotion because you've been around for a while. We add officers if there's a job to be done. But as we're thinking about that at the overall guild level, that we're trying to decide, well, what jobs need to be done and how do we deal with that? And as we're filling those slots, we think about things like, do we have the right balance of the right kinds of players? Do we have some diversity, or is it, you know, it's not just all, you know, a bunch of dudes. We've got, as you can see here, we've got a lot of players from a lot of different backgrounds, played a lot of different games, and we want, you know, all of those players to be balanced and bringing their perspectives to the table. We're trying to do a lot of that behind the scenes too. So it's really cool.
That makes a lot of sense when you look at some of the more recent officers promotions, like Marcus. There was clearly, you know, when I was starting to chat with some of the AIE people, there's just, I got a vibe that there was really a lack of cheerleading going on.
Wow.
So, you know, I was so thankful to see Marcus fulfill that role of, you know, really pumping everybody up and getting the crowd going.
I knew that was going that direction, but you're not too far off the mark. I mean, we specifically thought about some of the recent officers in Star Wars, and we did bring Marcus in because Marcus is very good at the connections.
Just say I have nice pom-poms. That's all you got to say. Jesus.
But Marcus has also gotten us, you know, better connected into the rest of the SWTOR community in ways that, I mean, Seema and I have talked to all the podcasters in the past, but Marcus got us, you know, got us in on other shows, and he goes out there and talks to all of them, and that's really important to us too.
Yeah, look at the SWTOR Unite stuff that he was, you know, a part
exactly.
of.
Exactly.
It takes a mix, and Marcus has that extrovert gene.
Right. Yeah. He certainly does. I was kidding with the cheerleader thing, of course.
No, you weren't.
Well,
lie. You don't have to lie on the show. I mean, everybody knows that's complete bullshit. I mean, that, you know, it's baloney.
Right.
We'll edit that out. So, Tetsuvi, what are your roles in AIE?
So, being from Chicago, I'm the bookie. No,
that's pretty good.
He's got the sausage on the
dumb bears. All right,
dumb bears.
No, I basically run the numbers and keep track of the guild income and expenses for the WoW guild, because the way the guild works in WoW, you get income based on what the guild does. So we've got 11 guilds, and you know, we have repairs available to all the characters. It's 50 gold a week that they can take out of the guild bank for repairs. You know, you go to the repair vendor and it takes it out of the guild bank numbers. And so I basically keep track of the population and the gold income, and do a report every week. It's up on our wiki. And, you know, you can take a look through and see the history. I think we're about to hit, good Lord, when did I start this? So we started this back March 16th of 2012. So this year will be 7 years of...
It's just the spreadsheet. The guild's been around since 2007, but yeah.
Right, but of this is something that Langtheris asked me to do back in 2012, and we put it together, and we've been keeping track of it, you know. It's crazy how long it is, but just it's fun for me. I'm a spreadsheet person. You know, everyone always jokes, "Oh, Tet's got a spreadsheet for everything." I do, but that's just the way I organize my thoughts and stuff, you know, about things. I've got one for my Star Wars characters. I've got one for my WoW characters. So it was just a natural thing of, "Hey, can you do a spreadsheet for this?" So. You know, if anyone wants to take it, it's all up on the wiki. We don't, you know, hide any of the income numbers or anything, but you know, it's fun to see the numbers each week and see how we're going.
It was funny because last week we've started adding in WoW raid teams using the guild bank tabs, because you get 8 tabs in a WoW guild bank that you can purchase. And so we've started giving raid teams that sign up and say, hey, we want to store our guild mats in the guild bank instead of having to ship off to alts and do an alt guild. And each of those tabs cost, each of the last tabs in the guild costs about 80,000 or 20,000 gold. So like last end of January, I've got a figure that says, oh, so when are we going to run out of gold in the guild bank just for, you know, giggles? And it was like, oh, you're going to run out in 2021, December of 2021. And then this week we look and based on the income numbers, it's like, oh, you're actually going to cap your gold cap in 2288. So I'm like, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it just, it, you know, it bounces, but it's a fun thing to do. But that's what I do. I'm more behind the scenes than anything. I like the mechanical, technical, behind the scenes stuff. So I'm not that much front facing officer, other than the fact that I also am on the AIE guild podcast, but that's as a guild member, not as an officer. It's not, you know, you don't have to be an officer to be on the podcast. It just so happens that the three co-hosts currently are all officers in the guild in various forms. So,
right. When you say like income and sort of getting paid, you're referring to in-game currency that it,
for correct.
WoW, in WoW that people pay.
Yeah.
Sort of as, is it like a membership fee to be in the guild sort of thing?
No, this is, it used to be a lot more income if you look at the numbers back in Wrath, but it basically what WoW did was they said, hey, we want to encourage people to be in a guild. So back in Wrath of the Lich King days, they said, you know what? We're going to take a portion above and beyond what you would get from turning in a quest. So like if you turn in a quest and you would get 5 gold for turning in that quest, the game would then take 50 silver, you know, half a gold, and throw that in the guild bank that you were part of as income automatically. Okay. It's not like Eve where you can set a tax rate and a, you know, transaction fee and all that. This is just all behind the scenes, but they realized that, you know, people just started making mega guilds, and they didn't care about the community behind the guild. The guild masters would basically just, you know, anyone that was guildless got a guild invite, they hopped in the guild, and the guild master was just using them for their income to build up the guild bank and then would take the money out and run away. So, you know, that's the antithesis of what AIE is. So what they've done now is it's much more guild activity focused. So if you have 80% of your membership in a raid, for instance, so if you go to, you know, a 10-person raid and you've got 8 members are in the same co-guild, then, and you down a raid boss, then you get 1,500 gold once a week for doing that activity. If you're in ranked PvP, you get 750 gold 3 times a week for competing in a PvP match. If you run a mythic plus and down a boss, you know, you get 650 gold for the guild that gets in there. So it's nothing that the guild membership has to contribute. Although we do have members that, you know, we'll just say, hey, I've got some extra gold, and they'll throw it in the guild bank. But, you know, we turn around and say, well, we've got all this gold. We're sitting on it. What do we do with it? We make guild repairs open. You know, we've bought now the 8th guild tab using those funds. So that's where the income and expense is the expense is all guild repairs or purchasing guild tabs, and the income is all from people doing guild activities with other members of the guild.
That's cool. It rewards you. You know, continuing to stay together as a guild and rewards the guild activities.
Exactly.
It sounds like a lot of work to keep track of that.
No kidding.
Is it true though, you can pay your subscription with your gold?
You can. So there is what they introduced was, it's called a WoW token. And if you, what they did was they said, we need some way of people that have a lot of money that are going to these illegal third-party gold sellers, and we want to
cut out that transaction, because we know there are people that don't have a lot of time to play, but you know, want in-game gold. So how can we make this happen? So for $20 US, you can buy a WoW token. And what it does is when you purchase that WoW token, you now have an item in your bag, and you can watch the gold price fluctuate because it's just like a market commodity. And when you think that it's at a point where you want to sell that gold token, you walk up to the WoW auction house and you put it for sale, and they say, okay, you have marked this for sale for X number of gold. And I think currently it's about 120,000 in-game gold. And then the other person says, you know what? I've got a lot of in-game gold. I want to create some BattleNet currency because I want to buy that new mount they just put in the store, or I want to go buy some Overwatch loot boxes, or I want to go buy the new hero skin. And so they take their in-game gold and they purchase the token for you from you. You get the in-game gold at whatever price you listed it at. Their gold's taken away, and then they get $15 for that WoW token of BattleNet balance that they can then use in any of the Blizzard franchises to purchase whatever's available for in-game stuff. So, if you're really good at the auction house, like, you know, Zen or a couple of the other players, you know, that make gold hand over fist, you can actually just buy your WoW game time with the token. So, you know, we had people when it was down, because it used to be down around 20,000-25,000 gold, and it shot up, and it's all based on supply and demand. But we'd have people that would buy like 6 months worth of game time at a shot. You'd buy six WoW tokens. Okay, I've got my game paid for the next 6 months, and it's all just based on stuff I did in game.
That's sweet.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Simon, you not only pay for subscription for time to time, but you can buy other stuff, right?
Yeah, I never pay actual American dollars for anything WoW related.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that is sweet.
That's very nice.
Yep.
You're rich!
I tell you.
So just as an aside, just so you guys have, this is kind of an Eve moment, but we just completed the world first race for the new raid, and a guild, a European guild named Method, got the world first kill. But they actually posted, there's like an 8-minute video up of one of their members talking about what they did. And this is kind of interesting just in the whole community aspect of it, of everything. They borrowed and spent 100 million gold to get this world first. That's about $20,000 US if you did the currency conversion. They used in-game gold to buy WoW tokens to pay for in-game services to transfer characters to other servers, and they cleaned out three other servers' auction houses of materials so that they could level professions on their raiding tunes.
Wow.
All using in-game gold, but they borrowed it from other guilds on their server who do things like do Mythic Plus runs or Mythic raiding runs for in-game gold. So they're like, oh, you want to get this achievement? 100,000 gold in game. We'll get you that achievement. You give them the in-game gold. They stick it in their pocketbook. You get the achievement. Everyone's happy. But yeah, they're 100 million gold in debt for this world first race.
Holy crap!
That's insane.
So, you know, like I said, I do the numbers. That's what I like. I like to keep track of stuff. So,
but I don't feel sorry for them because they are making actual real money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, that's their job. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that is. Yeah, but I mean, the fact that they started streaming, I think, is brilliant. They streamed their world first races now, and they have been hugely successful at that. So I think they'll be able to come up with okay. gold.
Yeah, exactly.
Those kids.
But it is very interesting how the economy just has so many layers and features and. It's like a whole little mini system or meta system, really.
It is. It's a meta game. Yeah, it is.
So I know you touched on it earlier, but could you elaborate a little bit on when exactly AIE was started?
Well, let me hit the wiki just to verify this.
I've got it. I put it in
the notes there. You got it? Okay.
So it was founded in early 2007. So as Tet's mentioned in his lead up, it first started as a group of friends. It was Scott Johnson. He's a podcaster right now that runs the Frog Pants Network and a few different podcasts. But it started as friends. Then he decided, and this was early in the days when there weren't many podcasts, he decided, you know, I'd like to listen to these WoW podcasts, but they're not very good. Why don't I just do one so they don't need to do it anymore? So that's the slogan of his show, is the Instance Podcast, so you don't have to. And he still does it. It's very good. It became very popular. It was the number one podcast. And then as a result, everybody was like, oh, well, I want to go join their guild. I want to go play with them. But yeah, that was 2007. So what are we at, 12 years now? And
yeah.
Yeah, so it's been going on for quite a while. And then it wasn't the other games right away. It was WoW for probably about the first 4 years. It wasn't too long after, but yeah, for about 4 years. And then
I think Rift, wasn't it?
I think it might have been Rift next.
Yeah.
And then it sort of ballooning out from there. And some of them went away. I mean, we had Rift. We don't have Rift anymore. We had Wildstar.
The game went away.
Yep. And Wildstar doesn't exist anymore as of earlier this year or last year. But then, you know, we've got all the ones that we do have.
Yeah.
So speaking of that, let's talk about the games that AIE has a presence in.
So why don't we go around? I mean, Seema, which ones do you play? And then Dan Kinio, and which ones do you play? And that'll probably cover most of them right there.
Well, I play SOTOR primarily, and then I also play WoW, like I mentioned, but I've also visited in Final Fantasy XIV and LOTRO. And that's about it. I haven't tried out Star Trek Online. But that would probably be the next if I did.
That's a good free one. Star Trek's easy to play for free. And if you're a Star Trek lore fan, it's pretty cool from that perspective. Oh, Lord of the Rings. My dwarf. My favorite thing about Lord of the Rings and what AIE does in there is there's a music system in Lord of the Rings. And I don't know if anybody ever knows what MIDI files are, but they're like it's almost like a text file. You know, it's got music notation in some ways sort of coded in there. You can basically link a MIDI file, a coded file, sort of like a MIDI file, to your character and an instrument that you're playing, and you'll play the music out of that file live in game.
That's really cool.
And then one additional feature is if you've got four people and four different parts, each load up each of those parts. And then there's like a slash command for syncing up all four of you and all four of you starting at the same time. And you'll have a band.
Yeah,
right. A band with like percussion and, you know, and somebody's playing the lute and somebody's playing the harp or whatever. And so AIE's got a band.
So that's awesome.
And we've done concerts because there's a lot of role play in Lord of the Rings also. So we've gone to the town of Bree and we've gotten up on the stage and we played a set. We had a set list and we played a set. And then people come and they listen to you and then they're dancing around. And then we had a scout for one of the other bigger RP guilds who like came up to us after and wanted us to like come back and be part of their RP events as a band that would come and play. And we didn't end up doing that. We didn't go that far. But
yeah, and there's a ton of music available in MIDI form that people have been using. And it's kind of funny to be walking along, you know, in the world of Lord of the Ring and you're a hobbit or you're a dwarf or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you hear the strains of Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's really cool.
Dankinia, I know what your two main ones are with ESO and WoW. What else do you do?
I have played some Guild Wars 2, although not in a very long time. I also dabbled in EVE for a little while, although not in a very long time. Nomads-wise, I will do a lot of the seasons of D3, Diablo 3.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a few guildies that sort of nomad style. We play Fallout 76 together. So
cool.
That's for the most part it. I don't have a ton of time for a lot of the other ones, although I've been tempted to try Final Fantasy. I just really don't have time.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of a time suck, good Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guild Wars. I forgot about Guild Wars. And Simo, you and I even played some Guild Wars.
That's right. I forgot about Guild Wars, too. Yeah. We've been in there.
Guild Wars is this guild. So AIE has got a guild house in Guild Wars, but the guild house, quote unquote house in Guild Wars, is it's like a zone. It's a full zone with like multiple areas, and like there's even like a transport system to like go from one end to another. And as you level up the different parts of your zone, you're sort of like building like a guild town with different buildings and stuff. So that's what our guild is doing in Guild Wars, which is pretty cool.
Wow. So the TLDR, if you're on Reddit, is if you can't find a game that you're playing in AIE, or if you can't find people in AIE who play the game too, you're not playing a
game.
Right.
You're not playing a game.
Yeah. So why and or how does the guild have such a great community? Because obviously that's a big part of AIE. Marcus is raising his hand.
Yeah, you know, it's not my time to answer that question, but you know, that's such an easy answer. But we have four guests, and I want to hear from them.
Actually, I think you two should answer it because I don't want to say you're newest to AIE, but I think you guys realistically are newer to AIE than anyone else on the podcast. So what brought you guys to AIE?
So I don't know how long actually I've been in the guild, right? And I remember I started doing something. Maybe I started an ops team and Max and Seymour were doing their podcast. And, you know, maybe I was in the guild for like 2 years. And Max is like, you know, Seema, there's that guy. You know, that guy, Marcus, you know, the new guy, he just started here. He's starting an ops team. Like, he just got here. And I'm like, man, I've been here for a couple of years. And then he started, you know, and then he was like, well, look, if you haven't been in the guild 10 years, you're new.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
No. You know, I'm completely talking shit. I mean, stuff.
I have to catch myself because it is. I mean, people have been here for years, and I'm like, that new guy.
So, for me, what gets me is I can sign into Discord, and throughout the day, there's always somebody saying something, and when you feel connected to something constantly, it makes you feel like you're always involved.
Yeah.
And for me, like Nick started playing SOTOR, you know, just dinged level 70. And I was like, Nick, come on, we're going to Terra from Beyond op. He's like, what? I'm going to die. And I'm like, yes, you are. Let's go. He jumps in halfway in, and I don't remember who it was. Maybe it was Max or somebody said, Nick, don't. Max. These boxes shoot lightning.
Yeah.
Do not stand in lightning.
I was like, okay, got it.
Got it.
Big old purple thing, lightning. I'm all over it.
Yeah.
Can do.
Yeah.
30 seconds later. Nick, you need a res from the lightning or what?
Yeah.
But the other thing is everybody is so nice. And I have.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, sorry, Nick, I stole your thunder, but everybody... Literally.
Get it? Lightning?
Yeah. That's why I did that. Come on. Everybody is always so willing to help and be nice. And, you know, even when people are having a bad day, you know, I've had some tough days, and I find that sometimes popping into your ops chat.
Yeah.
Or into the guild chat or whatever it is, and, you know, it just happens to be... You know, that, hey, how you doing, or whatever it is, just lifts you up. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, for me, obviously I have a much more limited scope of what, you know, experience with AIE, but, so Marcus, you know, has been nagging me to play SOTOR, so I hopped into SOTOR, finally got my character up to level 70, and then, you know, got a little bit involved with AIE, and everyone was just so welcoming and, like, understanding, and just accepting with open arms of, hey, just an overwhelming warmth and accepting and welcoming community. That was really nice to have. It was like, oh my god, there's such a big community of people that really care about this game, A, and B, just like want other good people to be involved in things that they're passionate about, which was really nice to see. Like, especially, it's like the first time I really experienced something of that magnitude in the video game world, you know? And it was my experience is so much more limited than you guys, so you must have so much more passion about this than I even could. But it was really, like, it was really cool to see such an welcoming, I'm running out of adjectives, but welcoming and, like, accepting.
But
and,
you...
And just a warm experience that I kind of, like, wasn't expecting. It was really awesome to be a part of.
For you, and sorry, there are guests on the show, I promise you guys, but for you, Nick, you play mostly on the PlayStation. Believe it or not, there's plenty of AIE people that are on the PlayStation.
Right.
You know, where if you find a game that comes out and you type in the Nomads channel and say, hey, I'm on PlayStation, who's playing Anthem or whatever the game is,
right,
you're going to find that there's a group of people that are doing that that you didn't even know that are completely off of your friends list.
Right.
And then, you know, it just so happens that sometimes, you know, I joke about time zones, but I never in my life have ever dealt with time zones until AIE.
Right.
You know, because, you know, the real world time is the East Coast time, but the...
Max would say it's Central time.
But the, you know, playing with people on the West Coast, it's really tough. Yeah. And the hardest one is, one of my closest friends is in Arizona. They don't do daylight savings, so sometimes they're 3 hours behind us, sometimes they're 2 hours behind us.
Right.
Yeah. We don't do daylight savings time. Both Kenny and I are in Arizona.
Oh, because, no way.
Yeah, no, we don't do daylight savings time. So people are like, oh, you guys have it easy, your clocks don't change. We're like, no, you don't understand. We don't change, and the rest of the world shifts around us, so we have to adjust our schedules to match all you guys. So my meetings that were like, you know, for work, my East Coast meetings that were at 8 o'clock now are all of a sudden at 7 o'clock in the morning during the summer. I'm like, what are you guys even doing? Come on. They're like, well, it's 10 o'clock here. I'm like, 10 o'clock? I just got up. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
I promise I'll let you guys talk. The thing about AIE that I really like as Marcus was saying that I could find people in AIE on the PS4, I was like excited because I know how people in AIE are. So I know it's a bullet point on here. I'm kind of stealing a little thunder for later, but like the overwhelming culture of like that acceptance and welcoming and friendliness. I had like my immediate thought was I'm pumped to meet more people of that mindset. You know what I mean? And I don't even know anyone that might be playing on PS4, but I know that that's the theme of the guild. And it makes me excited to play and share my experiences with other people in the guild. So anyways,
Dan Kinnear, what were you going to say? Because I know it was about the time zones, and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, it was about the time zones. It's so, like Ted said, our time doesn't change here. So I've actually shown up for New Braid an hour early because everyone... So I'm like, all right, invites are going out in 5 minutes. And people are like, do you mean an hour and 5 minutes?
That's like, the best.
Whoops, I'll be back later.
So I guess I'll let you guys answer this now. Sorry. Why does the build does the guild have such a great community?
That I'll take this. I mean, I'll give you my answer.
Sure.
I think it's a great community because we give back as much as you put in. You know, if you're somebody that's just looking to, hey, I want to get this done in a game and that's what I want to get out of my interaction with the community, great, that's good. But we also give the people that are go-getters and people that like to get other people involved and do stuff their space to do it. You know, like we have, you know, Kenny took over New Braid from Sparrow, right, Kenny?
Correct.
Yeah. And Sparrow started up because he's like, you know what? I think we need to do a raid where people that don't raid can feel comfortable and not shop. Because, I mean, you get in LFR and WoW and everyone's either oh, I killed this on Mythic. Why don't you people know how this fight goes? To the people that are like join the group and then go AFK hoping no one will notice, to people that are genuinely there to get stuff done and just don't know how to do it. And so Sparrow created the created the new braid to say, look, we're going to create a safe space where people that want to learn how to raid can learn how to raid, and we're going to do it at a pace where, you know, if we fail, no big deal, and when we succeed, it'll be great. And I think that really new braid kind of encapsulates the AIE culture. It's that we allow people to do as much or as little as they want to do within the community. And there's no, oh, you're not doing that right. It's more of, hey, you're doing this. It looks like, you know, it's going well. Can we help you do, you know, more? Or do you want to do, you know, extra and things like that? Especially when we do stuff like the Guild Celebration days in August, you know, people sign up and go, hey, I want to do an event. We're going to do laser tag in Undercity using some of the jewel crafting profession stuff. Or we want to do, WoW trivia for an event. Or we want to do, like Ralph's Amazing Race, that sort of thing. And it gives, it's a guild that's not driven by the officers. It's driven by the people, and the officers are just there to help and make sure that whatever you want to do, you can succeed in it. And I think that's really what makes it a great community. Is it's not officer driven. It's the people that are part of the community are driving what the community is about.
Speaking of the events, what are some of the events coming up in AIE?
Well, there's this thing called Mega. So we have events across all the games. We have some recurring weekly events, the things like you've been hearing about, the new braid, the MFN. So for people that didn't catch that acronym, that's mandatory fun night, and that means it's the attendance isn't mandatory, but if you come, we're just focused on fun. That's part of that culture too. Mm-hmm. There's a couple big, though, guild-wide type events. The biggest of the year that Tets just mentioned is in August. So the most sort of most important holiday, and this like gives people some idea of the other culture as well, the most important holiday for AIE of the year is August 2nd. So August 2nd, we call Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day started many years ago. We had a very... an important member of the guild. His game name was Milliways, and you know he was awesome. He was always helping people. He was always putting the guild first. In real life, he passed away, and it was a huge blow. That was early in the guild lifetime, and it was a huge blow. And most people only knew him virtually and online and in this kind of community, and that was sort of like a new thing. That kind of thing didn't happen as much back in those days. And we all realized that this is really important to us beyond just, hey, you know, we need to play some games. We need to get a raid cleared. And we said, we want to think hard about this. And we want to remember this. And we want to remember all the people that have been part of the community and aren't with us anymore. That's what August 2nd is. And then we expanded around that a little bit. And we've turned that into a week of, hey, let's do August 2nd. Let's do Remembrance Day. And we do that in game. We have a memorial service in all of our game divisions. A lot of them happen all at the same time. We do a lot of streaming of that. And then we said, well, now let's do a week of fun events around that as well. Because we want to just celebrate, you know, the awesome things that we do. We want to get together, and that's our summer events. So that's definitely something to look forward to every year that we do that. We do some real life events as well. I've never been. So who's been to BlizzCon? Kenia, did you ever go to BlizzCon?
No, I've never made it to BlizzCon.
So there's BlizzCon. We do the Guild Hall at BlizzCon, but you've been to Nerdtacular.
Yes. I've been to Nerdtacular 3 times.
And I heard there's a rumor we might have a Nerdtacular in 2020, which we have not had in the last year and a half. Why don't you, Dan Kinney, why don't you explain Nerdtacular and sort of that kind of real life thing that we do?
Nerdtacular was an event that Scott Johnson started to bring people that listen to the podcasts that he does together. So he does, of course, The Instance, The Morning Stream. I think he does, is it Core? Is this Heroes podcast?
Yep.
He does a bunch of different podcasts, but that's what the event was for, was to bring those people together. And from what I understand, it started out with them just renting a movie theater and all going to see a movie together. And it grew to, I think, almost 500 people.
Yeah, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Almost like so a mini con.
Yep, like a mini con lasting about 3 days. I've gone 3 times. I know Tet and Makala have gone more than that. But yeah, it was just a great chance to meet other AIE members. Usually we do, you know, a guild photo, and you get to actually put faces to the characters, which is awesome.
That's cool.
That's really the best part, is because you, when you meet somebody in person that you've never seen before, and you picture something in your head, like
based on their voice,
I know what they look like, but I'm not sure. And it just happened for me. One of my ops team members came up to my neck of the woods. He came up to like a hobby show at this big exposition center up the road from me. So I bought him dinner at this barbecue joint, and you know, meeting him in person, he was nothing what I thought he looked like.
Right.
Nothing. And it was just great. And we, you know, sat down for 2 hours and, you know, just laughed and joked and talked about stuff. And, you know, it was just, it's awesome. So the Nerdtacular just sounds amazing.
Yeah. And it's, even though you might not have ever met these people in real life before, you have that common background of the game that you play together. Mm-hmm. And it gives you that starting point to have that conversation and develop, you know, in-person friendships and relationships. And a lot of relationships have come out of AIE.
Wow.
Yeah, it sounds like personal experience there.
Yeah, I met my husband in New Braid back when Sparrow ran it. I got lost in Raid because that's what I do. And some guy's like, I'll go find her. And now I'm married to that guy. So,
wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, that is awesome.
So yeah, AIE brings together more than just, you know, online friendships.
Yep. And just as a side note, we met her husband for the first time in Nerdtacular, and my wife, Makala, promptly threatened his life. So, yeah.
Whoa.
It was great. She basically looked him dead in the eye, and she's 4'10", so, you know, it was looking up at him, but looked him dead in the eye and said, don't hurt my friend. I'll kill you.
And I've known Tet and Makala since before AIE, so, yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Wow.
Anybody want to tell us about things that are going on in the month of February in AIE?
Or March.
So are you talking about the Amazing Race?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Tet's mentioned it. In that same vein of important people that we've lost, one of the founders and leaders of the guild passed away suddenly. About, this is going to be 2 years ago now, isn't it?
Yeah.
His name was Ralph, and he was the kind of guy who he would, you'd have a conversation with him. It'd be late at night, and he'd whisper you, and you'd have a conversation with him, and he'd ask you how it's going, and he'd talk to you about your interests, and you'd think, you know, wow, he sort of made you feel important. And then you start to talk to other people about Ralph, and they give you that same story, and you realize that he did this with everybody. He had this ability to establish that personal one-on-one conversation relationship with everybody in the guild as a leader, and made everybody sort of feel important. He passed away 2 years ago, and it was very sudden. He was not an old guy. So that more than, you know, as much as any other, loss in the guild, that hit everybody really, really hard. 'Cause here was a founder, here was a personal friend, here was somebody that if you knew anybody in person in the guild, you've met Ralph in person. I knew Ralph personally. I had met up with him in person many times. And that was really tough. So Ralph is sort of part of that Remembrance Day event. But in addition to that, they've started up this event in World of Warcraft. One of the last things that Ralph was trying to organize for the guild, because he thought it was really cool, was this thing called the Amazing Race. And we did one in Star Wars, and Ralph was part of it. Our original guild founder in Star Wars, Pellel, invented this idea. If you've ever seen the TV show, The Amazing Race, it's you go to a you start off, you get a clue. You got to figure out the clue to go to a place. And at the place, maybe you have to do a little bit of a challenge or solve a puzzle or like duel an officer or do a thing. And then you get the next clue to go to the next place. And Ralph said, you know, we got to do this in World of Warcraft too. He never got a chance to do it. The guild now, I just punched my microphone. Sorry about that.
He's from Chicago. That's what they do.
Microphone sends one of yours to the hospital. You send one of theirs to the morgue.
Exactly.
That's the Chicago way. Anyway.
He's not wrong.
That's what the Amazing Race is in WoW. It's to celebrate Ralph. It's to celebrate what Ralph wanted to try to bring there as the last event he was trying to get going. And it's now become an annual thing. So that's coming up on the 17th in WoW. Bring your character. If you've got a WoW character, come check us out. Come jump in. There's prizes. The prizes don't matter. It's the journey that's the fun part. That's going to be really cool. That's one. And then there's this thing called Mega. Seema, do you want to talk about that Mega thing? I don't know who invented that. It's really cool.
Yeah, some obscure person that nobody here would
know. I think it's some really new guy.
I heard he has nice pom-poms, though.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm not going to say that. But, Marcus started Omega a few months back. And it's a monthly event that is intended to so highlight something in the game that's different from what we normally do on our MFN night. Something different for people to get together and do. And we do that once a month. And we've already talked about the one coming up on Friday. What's that?
It's a Star Wars thing.
Yeah.
We're talking about some WoW stuff. But yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
What does Mega stand for something? Is it monthly epic gaming event? Activity, I mean.
Yes, that's quite possibly.
Why, yes.
No,
yes, Nick, it is monthly epic game activity.
It's guild activity.
Guild.
Guild activity.
All right, saying. So the reason behind it was almost like the other events was I felt like, you know, Tuesday nights are tough for some people. And some people can only game on a Friday night or a Saturday night.
Right.
And so I thought, Fridays will be perfect. And then, you know, some people messaged me and said, you got to do a Saturday once in a while. And the whole purpose is to do other fun things because Mandatory Fun Night might be operations every week or conquest stuff every week. But there's so much more fun stuff we can do. You know, last month we did the GSF night, which was fun.
And awesome. It was great.
No. I had fun doing it because I've never done GSF before. And only getting shot by you, Corley, Seema, and whoever was in that team event. And we had Lucy help us host it because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have been able to have two teams going. And she really helped a lot, which was awesome. And it was a lot of fun to do it. But...
You're not into GSF.
I'm not in. Like, you know what my problem was? Is I would end up upside down, and then I would be facing the wrong way, and I would fly, and all of a sudden it would say, you're out of boundaries, turn around, and I would turn around, and it would say, you're out of boundaries that way. So, I was just like, oh, okay. And then somebody was like, I can't believe it's only 10 o'clock at night. And this was an hour into it, and I thought was thinking the exact same thing. Yes. And I looked at the clock going,
that might have been
me. Well, you know, I don't call people out. And, you know, the best part was the whole time I was doing this, I was like, people actually queue for this and do this. Wow.
It's got a learning curve, but it was really cool that you did it and set it up.
Yes.
And it's something we could only do because they added that new feature to Star Wars, which is private matches either in war zones or in GSF where you can get two groups of whatever players, you know, guild versus guild or two groups within your guild and queue up. And we went into GSF and we started with nobody shoots anybody, everybody hit X, that stops your ship. Let's walk through in theory, and I told you how to make your ship turn right side up, but anyway, I just walked everybody through how to fly your ship, how to not crash into asteroids, and which you can't do. If you ever played PvP in a game, usually the only way to play PvP is you get in the war zone, you get headshot. Great. Okay. So I learned 2 seconds so far. Now I'm going to rez and I'll get out there again. Oh, I'm dead again. All right. So I've learned, you know, how to move my character 2 steps forward. I love that you did it. I love that this was on the table.
Some people
got a kick out of it and have been flying GSF ever since.
Yeah.
Right.
Other people, Seema, still will never fly GSF again, but that's yes. Okay. It was still fun to goof off and yeah. chat and play well, music and plug DJ and that kind
of
stuff.
For the well, that's the whole point of Mega, is to do something different, whether it makes you feel like, oh, I'm never going to do this event and I'm just busting on GSF for this month, but I may never do it again, but I'm happy I did it because I achieved something in the game and can happily say when somebody says, hey, have you ever done GSF? I can say, yes, I did. It's not for me, because when I do PvP, I'm back in the Call of Duty days, I'm going to say it. Yeah. I lived by the motto, pray and spray. I would just run around, hold the trigger down, and just move left to right with a stick. And if I killed somebody, great. And if die, you wipe, you just start over again. And that's how I... You know,
played Call of Duty.
So that's kind of my PvP mentality. But the whole point of Mega is to bring everybody together to do something fun. I mean, 1 month we did Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, which we hid Seema on a planet, and we just did fun stuff like that. And it's great. So to wrap us up, as we both say thank you so much for this.
So, hey, this has been a fantastic episode.
And it's the longest episode ever of Working Class Nerd.
We set 2 records. No, highest number of guests on Working Class Nerd.
Achievement unlocked.
Ding. Ding. And longest episode. Ding.
Yep. And my final question for you guys is, where can people find you, find your podcasts, find your Twitch streams? You guys can start in whatever order.
All right. Well, I do the AIE podcast, and the best way to find us is just at AIE podcast, or go to the AIE-guild.org and look for the podcast live link every other Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Not this week, though, Saturday.
Nope, this week is Saturday.
And you personally?
I can be found, easiest way is find me in-game on some version of a character named that ends with S-E-M-I, Tetsemi, Datsemi, Retsemi. Yeah, they're all a bunch of semis. Or at Ivory Tiger on Twitter.
Great.
As for myself, on Twitter, it's at Dan Kinnia, D-A-N-K-I-N-I-A, since that's hard to spell sometimes. Twitch is at Dan Kinnia Plays for the ESO, MFN, and New Braid live streams. I can be found in WoW at Dan Kinnia, and in Discord as Kenny, I think, and in ESO as at Dan Kinnia as well.
And if you ever need to find her, just do hashtag Where's Kenny on Twitter.
That might work too, yeah.
Seema, you want to go?
Yeah, for me, the best way to find me is just hop in our Discord. And you can get the Discord information off our website that many people have mentioned already. I am on Twitter, but I admit I've kind of unplugged from social media at this point. But I am on Twitter at AIE Seema.
And you can also find Seema, from what I've heard, either Tuesday or Thursday nights at around 10:30 p.m. Central. She does this right. podcast. Which is also another AIE related podcast about Star Wars.
In fact, we're going to do it in about half an hour.
Yeah. And I was able to take down some notes about that mega event that's coming up and make sure we had the right date and the right description.
Wow, you guys might get an achievement tonight. 2 podcasts in like 2 hours.
Two podcasts in a row.
Better drink some water in between them both.
And I'm, as Seema said, I think with all of AIE, get in our Discord. It's public, yeah. AIE-guild.org. You can get the link on it there. Get in our Discord. I'm Max. So you can find me there. I do keep an eye on Twitter. I will respond to you there, at Max the Gray. Just go there. Just go our podcast. I guess you can find it at newoverlords.com. That's where we host the feeds and that kind of thing. And then if you want to find me in real life, I'm in Chicago. It's the Chicago way.
But if you want to watch us on Twitch too, it's like twitch.tv/newoverlords.
Yes, New Overlords. Boomba. That was the channel, because these video games run our lives. So these are our New Overlords.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us all.
Yeah, this was great. Yeah, we're all fans of you guys as well. So I really appreciate you guys having us on and everything that you guys do for gaming in general, for your community, and for AIE. So we really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Later, everyone.
Later, everyone.
Later.
Later.
See ya.
What are you guys talking about in here?
Find out next episode of Working Class Nerds.